Okay, good evening, gentlemen. We are continuing our Laws of Brachos class, and we're learning about Shinui Makom, a change of place. So, what I think I'll do, since we took a week break, now we took one little quiz on it, if I'm not mistaken, we did it in the class, we did quiz number 25. And I think I gave you one for homework.
Yeah,
26.
Yeah.
So just to, what I'll do is we'll spend 5-10 minutes. I'll just review everything about Shinui Makom first, and then we'll go to the quiz. And then we'll see in a minute. I may have a couple, but not a lot. So we'll see what we can do with that. And then we'll finish Shinui Makom today, God willing, and then we'll be done with Bracha Rishona, which is, I'd say, 65% of the laws of Brachas. Right? So then we'll have about another 5 or 6 more classes to do on Bracha, Achrona, and other Brachas. And then we'll be finished with Brachas. So we'll decide after today how many more classes you want to go, and then probably a few weeks after Pesach, it'll probably run us right up to the new opening, and then we'll change and go to a different direction, halacha. Okay, quickly, Shinui Makom means a change of place. And if you make a change of place, that is equal to the idea of Hesach Hadas, which means you're basically finished your eating program in this place. And the bracha, the effect of the bracha has been terminated. You made a bracha on something, and then you move locations. For all intents and purposes, this bracha only is for this location. The bracha is terminated, and therefore if you go somewhere else, or if you come back, you would have to make a new bracha. Just like we had other types of things that are a Hesach Hadas. So, in other words, if you decided you're going to bench, then even if you decide to eat afterwards, you know, you're finished. You got to start over. So it's a similar concept here. And we said there's three factors in Shinui Makom, again, of changing places. One is the type of location change. Was it a minor location change? Was it a major location change from room to room versus out of the house? What type of food were you eating? And were you eating alone? Were there others remaining when you came back? So we discussed, just quick review now, that, you know, it's stuff we did last week, but just two weeks ago, just to get us back. So when we discussed the type of location change, what's considered Shinui Makom, we said it requires a major change. And one that you would normally not do in the middle of a meal, that would, for all intents and purposes, terminate the meal, and then you'd have to make another bracha. So we said, what would that be? So we discussed, if you're in one room, one end of the room, and I move to that end of the room, is that considered a Shinui Makom?
No.
What if I'm in a large ballroom and I go from one end of the room to the other room? It's not a Shinui Makom at all. Same room is always a Shinui Makom. If you're changing rooms, then we said, it could be a Shinui Makom according to certain opinions. And we said there were two critical factors that would not make it be a Shinui Makom. We said if you had in mind when you were making the bracha on the food, you're going to change rooms, that's not a Shinui Makom. Or even if you didn't have in mind, but when you change rooms, you're going to see from one room into the place where your original were, that's not a Shinui Makom. If you answer yes to either one of those two questions, you had in mind to switch rooms, or you can see the same room, that's not considered a Shinui Makom. Okay. That was one thing we mentioned. Then we said that there were other opinions that said even room to room is never considered a Shinui Makom. And we said initially, if you're going to change rooms, you should have in mind to change rooms you made the bracha or see one room to the other. But if not, after the fact, you don't have to make another bracha. If you come back, we say that we go according to the opinions that said you do not make another bracha. Then we mentioned if a person normally moves from room to room during a meal, you have little children, you know you're not going to sit in one room the whole time. And if that's your habit, then the rooms of Shinui Makom from room to room do not apply, and you don't have to worry about that. If you start eating and you go to, the kid starts crying, you never are in the same room. So that's like your automatic intent, is that you're never going to be in that room. So it doesn't consider the meal ending. And if there's a room that you normally enter during a meal, that's not considered Shinui Makom. Let's say you go from the dining room into the kitchen. You do that quite often. That's a typical thing. That is not considered Shinui Makom at all. So that was one set of laws that we learned. And that was, we had a quiz on that just to get us back in that area. Then we talked about the next concept of leaving the house. That's the next type of shini makom. So the mere act of walking out of your house, generally speaking, ends the eating session, terminates the bracha. If you come back, you'd have to make another bracha. And the reverse is true as well. If you're eating outside and go inside, generally speaking, that terminates the bracha as well. However, we said, just like we said from room to room, if you can see the place before you begin eating, from where you began eating, then it connects you to the other place. So some rabbis apply this principle not only from room to room, but if you go out of the house into another place, as long as you can see your original location, they say that would not be considered a change. Even though you went out, but if I can see back inside, other opinions say no, that when you leave the house, it's automatically considered shinui makom. So since it's an unresolved issue, you should avoid getting into such a situation, and you shouldn't go out, even if you know you could see. But if at the end of the day you did switch location, your original location is visible, then you would not make another bracha. Okay? So if you're drinking and then you happen to go out of the house, but you could see into the same room that you're at, or you were in the backyard, the phone's ringing and you come inside to answer the phone, you could still see that spot in the backyard, then you shouldn't have gone out, you shouldn't have done that, but if you did, you wouldn't make another bracha.
So how would it be if someone was left at the table?
That's another factor we didn't get to yet. So that's a new factor. We're assuming there's nobody at the table. That's a new factor we haven't learned yet. We're going to learn it shortly. But just generally, so if I've gone outside, but I can see back to the original spot I was at, or if I'm going inside, I can see the original spot, that's okay. And there's one thing I didn't mention last time that I forgot, that it's good to mention again, that even if I go out and I could, when I'm in the new place, I could see back in, but there'll be an exception to that. Let's say in the process of going out, there's part on the way going out, let's say I'm walking past a big tree, a big bush, and at that point I can't see my original location. Even though when I end up where I am, I can see my original location, then that's considered shinui makom. In other words, if I go out of the house to here, and I can see into here, we said after that it's not shinui makom. But as I'm going out of the house, I'm going this way a little bit, there's a little... And when I'm going over here, there's a big tree over here, so now I can't see back in. But then when I'm over here, I can see. But once I have that point where I can't see, then finished. So that knocks you out, and that's considered shinui makom. Also, we mentioned if you go through a public area when changing places, you began eating in the house, and you go across the street to mail a letter, even though you can see the original location, but across the street, new bracha has to be made. If you're going, let's go to an apartment building. Going to an apartment building, that's automatically from one apartment to another. It's called a shinui makom. You don't leave the building because every apartment is considered its own apartment. And it's much worse than changing rooms in a house because I'm not the owner of my house. The owner's of my apartment, or somebody else is the owner of their apartment. So that's already continued outside. And therefore, even, going out of your residence to the public hallway is already considered going outside. And it's a shinui makom. But if I could still see, if I just go out the door and I could see back into the kitchen from the hallway, that wouldn't be a shinui makom because I can still see there. Same is true in a hotel, same idea. We said a dormitory is different because it's more like one place, so it's like room to room. Then we discussed balconies. What did we say? If a balcony is covered by a roof, it's for sure considered like one of the rooms of the house. So initially it's better to have in mind to go into the balcony or see the balcony back into the original room. But if you didn't, after the fact, it's okay. And then we said a balcony without a roof, that's already an argument amongst the rabbis. And in practice, after the fact, you don't say another bracha as well. And then we talked about a sukkah that's adjacent to your house. If you go into the sukkah, it's considered like not going out of the house. You didn't remind me with the email. I only remember now. That what if you're going out of the house in the sukkah, you got to send me an email so I can remember to look it up. Because I didn't have a chance. Again, it would seem that if you're going out of the sukkah, so while I'm out of the sukkah, I can see the original place, right? When you go out of your house, can you see the original, the where you made the bracha? Okay. So then that's a problem. But I'm trying to remember what's the problem here. You're making kiddush in the sukkah, right?
Yeah.
Might not be. There's other issues. You didn't say it's a bread meal.
Oh, so
There's new other factors we have to deal with. I'm dealing without a bread meal right now.
So we'll
get to that. We'll get to that. I'm just looking at the pure case of the sukkah without the other factors here. Right? You're in the sukkah. Your problem was what? Going back in the house and then back in the sukkah. Okay, so do you see the sukkah? The sukkah doesn't connect to the house?
No.
Can you see the house from the sukkah?
There's walls. The room, not the kitchen.
Not to the kitchen. All right, so then that's a... Okay, so we'll have to look at other factors to get you out of the mess. Okay, we'll have to look at other factors. Okay, so with that, we've done enough that we can at least review the quiz. 26, correct? That was the homework. And how many people have a quiz with them? Okay. You have it? Okay. Let's see how many extra copies I have. I have. Let me see. I have 3 extra copies. Let's see how we'll do here. You need one?
Just enough.
I got that. You got one, Rick, right? So we're okay. Okay, we're in business. Okay. So let's do the quiz on that. Let's just make sure I got the right one over here. So complicated. You gotta be so organized. Okay. This is quiz number 26, right? So you got that, Rick?
Yes.
Okay, good. So everyone's got Baruch Hashem. We just have enough for everybody. Fine. Okay, question one. Leaving your house in the middle of eating is a shinui makom. A, if you go into a private area, your backyard. B, if you go into a public area, street. C, even if you have intent to go back inside. D, all of the above. Okay, what do we say?
D.
D is correct. As soon as you leave the building where you started eating, you've made a shinui makom and a new bracha is necessary if you want to continue eating. We didn't add other factors that may help us, but without the other factors, you'd have to make another bracha. We didn't add any other factors. Okay, number 2, short answer. You're in the middle of your cornflakes breakfast in the kitchen and your neighbor asks you to come help him for a few minutes. Do you have to say a new bracha upon your return? All things being equal, no special circumstance added. Yes, why? Because when you leave the building, that's a shinui makom and it terminates your bracha, even if you had in mind to return to the original location and continue eating. That won't help. Leaving house will not help the intention. Will not help, especially with cornflakes. There might be other things, but cornflakes not. All right, we didn't say bread, because that may make a difference. We'll learn later on. Okay, 3, you begin eating in your dining room and then decide to continue eating in your backyard. Is this permitted? Yes. A, since the dining room and backyard are both considered your private domain. B, yes, as long as you say a new bracha. C, yes, and no new bracha is necessary, provided you can still see original location. D, no, as you should avoid getting into such a situation altogether.
C.
What did he say?
C.
There's a brave guy there. The correct answer is D. Why? Because some authorities say that if you go outside and can still see your original location, it's not a shinui makom. You don't have to say a new bracha. But there's other opinions who say that leaving bill is automatically a shinui makom, regardless of whether you can do it. So since it's unresolved, it's best to avoid getting into that situation. Right? We said, is it permitted? We didn't say, after you've done it, what should you do? Which, if you call up the rabbi, I want to go out. Should I go out? I'd say, no. It's an argument. Don't get yourself into an argument. It's not permitted. But if you did do it, then we won't make it. The question was, is it permitted? It's not permitted. It's not permitted, right? But, you know, you don't want to rely on those opinions. We're talking about where it's ready after the fact. The phone rang. You weren't thinking. You went outside. You went inside. Whatever. Okay, then you can rely on that opinion. But initially, to do that, that's different than going from room to room in a house. Initially, I could say, I want to go to another room. I have in mind to go to another room. Then that's good. But going out of a house, initially, we don't do that. After the fact, if you did that, we don't make you make another bracha. So a little bit of a tricky question over there. Okay, D. Changing the case slightly. You begin eating in your dining room and then decide to continue eating in your backyard. You leave the house through the side door and along the way lose sight of your original location. There's the giveaway. The dining room. And then end up in a place in the yard where you can still see the dining room. The halacha is D. You need to say a new bracha because once you lost sight, out of the game. Okay? Okay, next. Whoa. What's going on here? Here we go. Okay, number 5. While snacking on chips in your front yard, a neighbor across the street starts chatting with you. So where are you? Outside. You cross the street with a packet of chips in your hands, offer her some, and continue eating some yourself. Do you need to say a new bracha?
Yes, in all cases.
Yes, in all cases. A, why? You went through a public area, even though you could see the original location, you need to say a new bracha before eating more. Crossing the street involves a public area.
The front yard, does it matter if it's fenced or not fenced?
Regards to what?
Is that considered...
It's outside. If you're going from inside to outside, that's outside. It's not fenced.
You mean, no, outside.
Is it considered a private...
That's private, but you're crossing the street.
I know, but forget that. If you're in the... going from the house to the front yard and
that's still okay as long as you could see your way back to where you started eating. That's okay, but that's outside. It's outside but not public.
It's private.
6. Your neighbor in the apartment across the hall visits you. As you offer some fruit, she says, "Oh, I'd love some, but I'm in the middle of eating a fruit platter at home and don't know if I need to say a new bracha." What would you advise her to do? A, she should say a new bracha. Going from one apartment to another is considered a shinu makum, even though you haven't left the building. 7, short answer, you're on a vacation in Paris. I don't know why. But you are. You're in your hotel room. That's a safe place. Enjoying a cool drink and wander out to the balcony to enjoy the view. You've already done it. We didn't ask if is it permitted, but you've done it already. Is this after the fact considered shinu makum?
No.
Now, it may be better to have thought in advance you're going to go out there or you can see back into, but after the fact, it is okay.
If it's under a roof, it's...
Even if it's without a roof.
Especially without a roof.
No, under a roof is less controversial. Yeah. Without a roof is...
But you could go if there was a roof.
Again, if you should have in mind to go to another room, then lechachila you could do it. But after the fact, it's okay.
All right. Excuse me, sir. In all these cases where...
Now, it doesn't have to be the hotel. It could be your own condominium.
Right. In all these cases where you have to end up saying a new bracha, like we said in many cases here.
Yes, sir.
So it really means that in the old location, you should have said your after blessing.
Oh, yes. You should definitely. There's no question about it. If
you suddenly remember, oh, you didn't say your after blessing. You have to go back.
Well, that's going to be another issue in another class. Coming up today, in about 20 minutes, we will come to that point. But really, if you know you're in a position where you'd have to make another bracha, like if you know you're going to go across the street to get the mail, then you should make the bracha achrona, go across the street, and then come back and make another bracha. But that's when people are thinking, right? People usually don't think till after they've come back. They say, oh, now what do I do? Right? That becomes the issue. Okay, so we're done with this. Let's put this away. I don't know when I'm going to see this again. So next time I see it, it should be in order, right? Okay, so now we did the quiz. So now we have, another 2 parts to go on Shinu Makom. We're doing fine with the time. I think we even went a little further, and we'll just do that now. Now, there were some review sheets that I did give you. Let's see how many extras I have. I only have 2 extras, I think. Yeah, that's the
sheet.
Yeah, I gave you one. It's just so. Do you have, Rick, a review sheet? Looks like this. It says brief review of Shinu Makom. Okay, who doesn't have? Okay, so I got it. It's on the website, right?
All right. I have one at home.
Okay. All right. You got it. It's also everything's on the website. So in case. The quizzes aren't, but Everything else on the website. So if you lose anything, it's there. Okay, so we then began. Okay, now we're going to go a little bit what we did last week, and then we're going to finish up. And if there's time extra, we'll just do the quizzes on the spot together. And that way we'll just get it all done and start something fresh next week. Okay, now outdoor eating. Okay, outdoor eating. You're eating outdoors now, and we're not talking about going indoors. We talked about going out to in to out. I'm out, and I'm going out. What? How does that affect Shinui Makom, the rules there? So generally speaking, we said an enclosed area, whether it's fenced or surrounded by bushes or anything like that, that's considered like a room. And moving within that area, no matter how big it is not considered a Shinui Makom. It could be a giant campground that's fenced in. Doesn't matter. You can go from one end of the campground and all the way to the other end of the campground. If the entire campground is fenced in, it's no problem. On the other hand, the flip side, when you exit an enclosed area, it's like leaving the building, and that's a Shinui Makom as well. So like we get, what was the example we gave? We're playing frisbee. You know, in the campground, and the frisbee while you're eating, of course, and the frisbee flies over the fence. Once you go outside the gate to get the frisbee, you come back, you'd have to say a new bracha on the food that you're eating. Okay, that's point one. Point two, open areas. Let's say an open, unfenced area is not considered like a big room. Rather, it's considered from moving place to place, outdoors is like moving from one room to the next. It's like moving from one room to the next. So what were the rules we had when you move from one room to the next? Initially, what? You have to have in mind, you make the bracha, you're going to change locations. You have to have the or the original place, you can still see where you ate the bracha. So the same rules will apply when saying a bracha in the open outdoors. You should have in mind that you want to continue eating in a different location in the outdoors. That's when it's not enclosed, though, right? Or make sure your original location is still visible from where you made the bracha. But here is an important difference. We said that when moving from room to room, even without those factors, after the fact, it's okay. Right? We said moving from room to room, you should have one of those two things in mind. But if you didn't, after the fact, it's okay. But when saying a bracha outdoors, if you didn't have in mind to change locations and you no longer can see the original place in sight, after the fact is no good and you have to make a new bracha. That becomes the change. After the fact. So as long as you have in mind, I plan on eating, you know, a half a mile down this huge park, no problem. I can see a half a mile all the way back. I have great vision. My original site, no problem. But if you're missing those two, Shinui Makom, you have to make another bracha. Okay?
So as an example, if you're in a park with, let's say, a fenced-in area.
Fenced-in area, then you're okay. Just stay in the fenced-in area.
Then, let's say there's a small path, and then right across the path, there's another area, a grassed area.
But it's after the fenced-in area.
Right.
Then you're outside.
And if it's not fenced-in?
Then it depends on the two factors. Did you have in mind, or could you see into that area?
And it's just because there's a path that goes, and it's considered too...
It doesn't matter. Is it fenced-in? Is it fenced-in? If it's not fenced-in, it's not. The path won't make a difference. Yeah?
If you want to have in mind... you're in an outdoor area, open area, and you're going to move around. Like, does it have to be specific? Or you can say, well, as long as I'm anywhere on the planet, that counts or something? Or, you know, is there some limit to how far you can...
Well, let's say you're going to go to a different park, right? Let's say you're in an open park, and then you leave that area, go to another open park, then that's like going from house to house with Shinui Makom. I mean, if there is an obvious limit, it will end.
You know,
if you're leaving the park, you left the park and now you're on the main highway, you know, that's it. You know, it's a different place already. Okay? So if you're going from one park to another, let's say you're a big walker, right? Hiker, right? So you're hiking. You're hiking from one park and you go through that park and now you're going out into another park. You know, so if you sat down and you ate here and now you had in mind, it'll only work so far. Oh, so that's already a different halacha. We're just talking where you weren't, I'm planning, but I'm not a traveler. For a traveler, that's going to be the next halacha. Okay? So now, let's take this, so the assumption is normally when you're eating, you're in one place, you move, that's not normally done in a meal. But if I'm eating while traveling, alright, then the laws change and are much more lenient. So when you're in transit, you can go from one place to another, even in and out of buildings, one park to the next, without making another bracha. Why? Because I never established my eating session in a particular place. That's critical. So it doesn't matter. Getting in and out of a car, entering a rest stop, any of these will not end it as long as the critical factor is you started eating while traveling and assume that you want to continue eating while traveling, then the rules of Shinim Akam don't apply. So if you're a guy whose job is on the road all day, I mean, all day, but whatever, the whole morning, let's say, right? And you started in the car and say, you know, I'm eating now and I plan on doing my route. And you started that way, then you just, you know, keep going. Now, obviously, it's within reason. If you make a bracha and then you didn't eat for 90 minutes, then already you got major time problems. But, you know, you're drinking a coffee and you're doing this and you're munching in the car and you're out of the car for 10 minutes. You come back in the car and munch a little more and go out of the car for 10 minutes and munch a little more. It's all considered one trip, right? And more than that, even if I'm in the house and I'm about to leave the house, I'm on my way out, I say, okay, I'm making a bracha, I'm on my way out, I'm going to take a little sip, I'm on my way out. Since you planned on leaving immediately, it all works, okay? So, but if you begin eating in your house and you didn't plan on traveling, and then you decide you want to travel, then all the rules of Shini Makom apply. So in other words, when you're making the bracha, did you have in mind that I'm traveling after this bracha? Doesn't have to be immediately after this bracha. I can take two bites and then travel, but I know this is not going to be the whole meal. Let's say you bought a huge pizza and you plan on knocking it off on the way to Buffalo. So you sit down, okay, I'm going to have two pieces now and it's going to be a starter, you know, for the trip to Buffalo, right? Because it's really hot now. So, but when you made the bracha, you know you're traveling, you're just starting off to go. But you plan, I mean, it's within reason. If you're going to spend an hour eating the pizza in the house, then you can't say you were traveling. You understand? I mean, I don't know, maybe I'm stretching with eating two pizzas already. Two pieces might be stretching a little bit. But clearly, if you know I'm going, I'm just starting because I have to wash, I have to make a motzi and this and that, so I want to sit down and make the bracha, sit and have a couple bites, and then move on, then clearly you don't make another bracha. Okay, yeah?
Yeah, if you're traveling and you stop for lunch, let's say you're drinking water and munching and stuff like that, and then you stop for lunch or
okay, so it depends how you're doing it. It depends how did you start. So if, let's say you weren't eating on the road, and you say we're going to stop off somewhere. Now you're stopping off somewhere and we're going to eat lunch there. And I'm planning on eating lunch there. Then, you know, and you really weren't planning on continuing when you go on the road, then that's a separate thing. It's not a continuation. But if, let's say, you're in the car and you're having, let's say you're eating some pretzels in the car. I'm eating some pretzels in the car and I'm starting to go. And now I go to a rest stop and I go bring some food in the rest stop. And let's say, you bring some crackers with you and a drink. So you'd have to make a shahakal on the drink because you didn't have a shahakal in the car. But the crackers are mizonos. It's the same bracha. And I was planning on, so I wouldn't make a new bracha on the crackers because I had that in mind. Now, let's say I go back in the car and I want to drink some more drink and keep eating pretzels, right? Well, it depends. When I made the bracha on the drink in the rest stop, was I having in mind to continue on the trip or not? You see, that would be a factor there. You understand? Because that bracha on that shahakal is when I was in the rest stop. Now I need to have, what is my intention at that point? Pretzels, I can eat this all day long. Mizonos, I can eat, because when I left, I said I want to eat on the road. Mizonos. Right? So that would be okay. So a lot depends on what you're thinking in your mind. When you're starting the trip and say, you know, I'm gonna make a couple brachas here and it's gonna be for the whole trip, then you don't have to worry. You stop off, you do that you're just traveling. It's all one traveling. You don't make another bracha.
If you're saying shahakal in the restaurant on the rest stop on the water, can you have in mind, if I don't finish it, then I'll take it with me? You know what I mean?
Again, but the point being, like, how long are you there? Like, you can't, it's hard to say, like, if you're there for an hour in the rest stop and you're really eating the whole meal, how can you say I'm traveling? You know what I'm saying? If it's more like, you know, you're going to the second cup that's on the road, I ordered, I'll take a zip and then move on. But if you're really going to sit down and have a whole meal, like it's really a whole meal. Like it only works because I'm planning on going in transit. I'm planning, you know, because, okay, I'm planning to make the bracha. Maybe if you're saying I'm planning to eat it in the car afterwards, I'm having in mind a second place at the bracha, it might be okay too. Might be okay too. But it would probably be best to just make a bracha and forget about it and start over. And I don't imagine you're going to be eating, unless you really feel, you know, I'm going to start now and I'm just not going to eat the whole thing and I'm going to go right into the car, then you wouldn't make another bracha because you're having that in mind.
I think that I'm thinking, like in my case, I quite often will go for like a day hike where I'm going to be, like I had drew that. I start off with drinking in Mazonos and I keep doing that as I'm hiking. Then I stop for lunch, probably even with bread meal, and then continue on after, finish the lunch, and then continue on after eating again.
Once you're hitting a destination, you're kind of stopping, right?
I don't know if it's the destination or if it's just, okay, it's time for lunch, now I'm going to stop and I'll eat lunch.
I think under that circumstance, it would be better to stop and say, listen, I'm having in mind, I make a bracha on my walk. Like, what do you do when you're walking? You're just going to drink, right? Walking for 3 hours. What do you plan on doing for those 3 hours?
Drinking and mazon.
So then you have that in mind, you don't make any more brachas, right? But then you're going to sit down and then you have a formal meal. Probably you should have in mind, I only have in mind for the walk until then.
When I sit down,
I want to have another proper meal. And I'm sitting down to have a proper meal. And then, when you're finished with the proper meal, I don't think you're hungry right away.
No.
So then start walking again. And then when you're hungry again, make another bracha then and say that'll go for the rest of the trip. So I would say, in that circumstance, would be like three segments for that. Okay, yeah?
So if you're outside in a rest stop and you're eating on the
picnic benches,
and if you need to go to the restroom for any reason, to wash your hands or whatever.
So that would be a shinui makom.
So
going from outside to inside. You can't really see where the inside, the outside is. You'd have to make a bracha achron and then go to the washroom.
But in the house, you said you don't do
that. If you're eating.
What do you mean?
If you're in the house and you go to the washroom, you know when you're
using. Anu lo gomrim ad reva achar tesha. Anu vemsa achshav. Okay. Slicha. Yeah, what?
I'm just saying that if you're in your own house, even though.
Because that's like room to room.
So does this apply to a bread meal?
I mean, you should always best when you're having a bread meal in the house. We'll see, there's other rules about bread. We'll give me the bread soon. Just let me get to the bread.
So you have to, before you go to the washroom.
We'll get to bread. Bread will change the rules.
I'm not talking about bread.
Just talking about a drink right now.
I'm talking about you're eating a snack.
Let's say a glass of water and some carrots, okay? That makes it easy. Mazonos becomes another, adding another factor that I don't want
to
answer yet.
Okay, so a glass of water.
This is when you're outside on the picnic bench?
Yeah.
You have to finish your meal, you know, eat what you're going to eat or whatever, then go to the washroom, and then you're done. Now, if you still have to eat more, then you have to make another bracha, because you've gone from outside to inside. You don't see the same location you're at, and really initially you should finish, and that's the end of that meal. All these things, like, what is this forcing us to do?
Plan.
So you know what? I'm going to rest up. Do I think I need to go to the bathroom in the next 5-10 minutes? Best go to the bathroom first so I don't get into this problem. That really takes forethought. You took it, I mean, usually when you take a trip, you've been driving for 3 hours, the first thing is you go to the bathroom, right? So, okay, we're going to go to the bathroom unless we're going to have bread, and then we'll wash coming out of the bathroom, and then we'll sit down at the picnic bench, and then I'll have a mind. We'll talk about, you know, where you should make the motzi in that shortly. Okay. But that's the best way to do it. Right? Because now that you know it becomes complicated, even if you're having a Shabbos meal, look, you should go to the bathroom first. Usually it'll last you for a while, I hope, unless you have bladder problems, right? And, you know, you go to the washroom, you probably shouldn't have to go to the washroom for the meal. You know, and it would really be best to say, I have in mind when I'm making a motzi, my general in mind is, and I think it is the general mind, that if I have to go to the bathroom, that's part of what I'm intending on doing, and it's not a shinui makom when you're in the house. Okay? Yeah? Yeah?
You might cover it later, but if you do go to the washroom, and like before your bread meal, and you come out and you wash, and you say, Asher.
So there's whole issues there if you have to make a wash again, and I'll say, that's a whole thing I don't want to get into right now. That's, Sam can tell you it's very complicated, and it's a whole issue. I can't get into it now.
No,
it's just
that's what I said. You probably covered some.
There's no simple answer to that. Okay, now there is enough. I think that's as far as we got to last time, but I think the chazor is important. Now, how about, so we said when you're going outside, it usually signifies a break of the eating session and you're finished. Okay, now that would only work if you stopped eating before changing places and then started eating afterwards. What if there's food in your mouth while you're changing places? In other words, you're sitting at the table and your mom is chewing on a huge piece of pizza. Right? And now while you're chewing, you're going out. I mean, obviously, l'chadchila, you don't do these things. But, you know, I'll say it very simple. You sat down, and your mom is putting a full piece in your mouth, you're chewing, the phone rings and it's down the hallway. And you're expecting an important call. Go and you look and you say, ah, it's one of my kid's friends, forget it. And you come back into the room, you know, even if you went out of the house, that's not a shinu makom, because I you can't say my eating session terminated if you're still eating. Again, I would not recommend this as an initial way to live your life. I don't think that's the way you should. But what if you did? You never really finished it. Right? So since there's no actual interruption, no new bracha, he says, now you don't do that, but I'll give you another example. How about if you're chewing gum? Right? You make a bracha on gum. Right? You make a bracha. So you make a bracha. Now you're chewing gum. Now you're walking around the house. You're going outside. You're going down. Oh, maybe I should make a new bracha because now I'm on the subway.
What's in your mouth?
Right. But you don't because you haven't stopped eating. That's the point. Or let's say you're sucking a candy that takes 5 minutes to finish, something like that. That would be a much more practical case, right? Now, what if, on the other hand, you're munching on an apple or crackers, eating continuously as you go from one place to the next? Now, listen, according to some opinions, if you pause, let's say, you finish, but now you pause for a few seconds between bites, according to some opinions, they say, oh, that's a break, shinu makom, and therefore, such a situation, it's not so simple. And, therefore, many suggest, you know, stop eating for a few moments, change places, and say a new bracha. So as really is a complicated halachic issue, it's easier to have the food in your mouth and keep chewing than, you know, so that's, it's not so pushy and really shouldn't get yourself in that situation. And obviously it only means if you're continuously eating, but let's say just holding your food while you're going out. Let's say you ate a bite, you swallowed it, nothing in your mouth. For some reason, the phone rings, you're afraid your neighbor next door, your friend is going to swipe your food off the plate. You take the food with your plate and go into another room. And then you come back, because you haven't eaten anything. When you come back, that was still be a shinu makom.
Or you're eating a whole
carrying the food with you. Right. Let's say you ate it. You swallowed it. You got half the apple in your hand. Now you go out with the apple in your hand, but you haven't eaten anything. That's not going to help. Having your hand is not considered, I'm not finished eating. You got to be eating. It's got to be while the food is in your mouth. That's the critical point, okay? Finally, we did mention, remember we said there were many situations where there can be a doubt if you have to make a new bracha. Let's say you don't know, you made a bracha, and I don't know if my bracha covered another food. And I'm not sure, should I make a new bracha, should I not make a bracha? I don't remember if I said a bracha or I didn't say a new bracha, right? So we gave a whole bunch of solutions when you're in doubt. For example, listen to somebody else make the bracha and say amen and have in mind just in case you needed to. But now we see from all this that a new solution has arisen. If you're not sure if you need to make another bracha, the best thing is go across the street, mail a letter, and come back. Because then no matter what, you have to make a new bracha. Because that is for sure a shinu makom. You are allowed to intentionally create a shinu makom in order to avoid the halachic doubt of having to make another bracha or not. Because that seals the deal. You got to make a new bracha no matter what. That's the only time you're allowed to lechachila make a shinu makom. Initially make a shinu makom because that removes the doubt. And that's the best thing you can do is to remove the doubt.
So you have to make an after bracha on the food you ate.
Yep.
Before you go
out and mail the letter. Right. Make a shinu. That's right. I'll make a bracha on that. finished. Now I'm going to cross the street, mail a letter, come back, make a new bracha.
So even if you're in doubt if you made a bracha, you can still make a bracha.
Well, you know you ate the food.
No, right.
If you didn't make a bracha rishona and you ate a whole thing, you still got to make a bracha achrona. Don't do two averos.
Right.
You didn't want avera, or you're not sure if you didn't avera. Well, I'm not sure if you didn't avera. I'll try to make another avera. Like, you know, you have to bend. And really, that's the more biblically orientated blessing is the one after, not the one before. Generally speaking. Okay. Last points and some critical points as we finish Shinui Makom, and this will take care of a lot of your issues over here, right? Remember, the eating session has to be finished. Now, what if there are other people at the table while you're eating? So normally we say if I go out the door, my eating session's over. But I'm eating with my family, we're at supper, and the doorbell rings, and now I go out, I start talking to somebody out of the house, and I walk across the street even, whatever, but I come back and everybody's still eating. Okay? So now we say that eating session is not over because the group eats as a group. And this becomes an important leniency. As long as someone remains at the table and is not finished eating, then all your brachas are still in effect, notwithstanding everything we told you. In other words, if you've done legitimate shinui makoms, I went out of the house across the 401, and I came back 20 minutes later. I mean, I shouldn't have done that initially. I shouldn't have left the house. You should, right? But you did. Or maybe even l'chachil I can. Because as long as somebody's in the house or in that place, it hasn't ended. So let's say you and your spouse are sitting down having a cup of coffee, and then you go outside to bring in the newspaper, even though you left the house, which is a shinui makom. And you couldn't see the original place. You didn't have in mind to come back, let's say. You didn't think about when you made the bracha. You didn't have in mind to go out. You wouldn't say a new bracha when you resume drinking your coffee because your wife's still there. Your drinking session is not over. So that is a great leniency. As long as someone's at the table, not a problem. Now, wait a minute. What would happen if you were away and everybody finishes eating and they say a bracha achrona, then you're done for. Because they ended their eating session, even if they're sitting at the table, they're finished. And you, by going out, are finished, and you got nothing to hang on to, you're out. Right? That's clear. Even if they're still sitting there, but they're not eating anymore, right? Right? A new bracha is required, because they benched and they're done. The meeting session is over. Sitting around afterwards is not considered an extension of the eating. So hold on, let me just a few more points on this, right? Now, if, let's say when you're eating, right? When you went away, everyone except for one person didn't leave and didn't say the bracha achrona. As long as one of the original people is still at the table, even if he finished eating but did not make a bracha achrona, an after blessing, the eating session is still in effect. You don't have to make another one. So the bottom line is you have to make sure at least one person's there and he hasn't said the bracha achrona. As long as, even if they may not eat anymore, but since I didn't make a bracha achrona, I could eat more. And I can't say my eating session's over. My eating session's over when I say it's over. The fact I stopped eating does not mean I said it's over. Right? So as long as they haven't made a bracha achrona, that works. Right? Now, so that's general. Now that's only if there's an actually eating together and it's a joint eating session. What if you happen to be eating at the same time in the same place with other people that really aren't part of your group? That is not considered a group eating session. So for example, you're in a restaurant and you're eating by yourself at a table and then you run out to the car to get something in the middle of your meal, whatever. And there could be a lot of people in the place, but they weren't at your table and were not eating with you. Then even though there's a lot of people in the restaurant, it is not considered that the eating session has not concluded. It is concluded because at your table, you're the only one there. And let's even more, let's say school cafeteria, right, where five people, but I have no business with this guy, with that guy. That's not called an eating session together either. And if you leave that, you're out of the game. Okay, questions on this point only of people remaining behind. So now with your sukkah issues, if you leave somebody behind, you're for sure okay. Right? If somebody stays there, you're for sure okay. That's one way out. We're going to get to another one. Well, by the time we're finished with all these ideas, we'll get you covered, yeah?
So you're eating by yourself, and you get a delivery, someone's ringing the bell, and you just kind of have to step with one foot out.
Can you see back into the kitchen? Well, it was where you were eating.
Where you're eating.
Best is, in those situations, tell the guy to come in. Stand it right before the door, open the door, and say, you know, can you step in for a second, please?
So if let's say you're picking up a paper, newspaper, like it's just right outside the door.
Not that we get.
Just a scenario, you're not...
It's best to not go out and get the paper. Just finish eating. It's a dicey situation. It's a dicey situation. It's best not to go out. I mean, it depends. Did you really go out? Like, if you got, can you still see where you were eating? That's why it's good to have a kitchen that faces the front door. If you're making your halachically designed house, you know, you put the kitchen way in the back, but you have a straight view to the front door 45 feet away. So even if I go to the front door, you can obviously see it. Okay, so it's better to avoid that situation. Okay, now we get to a little tricky stuff here. Okay, a little tricky. Wait, we got quite a bit. I gotta roll it here. Okay, now, shinui makom does not apply to all foods. Okay, this is a little bit tricky. You gotta pay attention. This is tricky now. Right? Remember, a bracha, now we're gonna learn more in the next sessions that not only do you have to make a bracha before, but you have to make a bracha after eating. Now, don't ask me too many questions on the after eating. We'll get to it later. Just, I'm going to tell you one little piece. Just accept it. Don't ask me questions on it. And we'll just apply it to what we need over here. Okay? Now, sometimes the halacha requires that the after blessing has to be recited in the very place where you ate. You know, let's say you left the place without making a bracha achrona. Sometimes you're required, you have to go back to your place to make the bracha achrona. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about that, right? So sometimes, even though you left, you're always supposed to bench where you eat. You forgot, you went somewhere else. We'll now discuss, sometimes you have to go back and bench there. Some foods you don't have to go back. Now, what does that have to do with shinui makom? So very interesting. This stringency of having to go back, paradoxically, creates a leniency. Why? Because since you got to go back, what is the halacha really saying? It's like your eating session isn't finished. Because if I can go somewhere else and bench somewhere else, that means my eating session is finished. If the halacha requires me to go back and bench, then we can't say there is a shinui makom, because why are you making me go back to the same place? Right? So the rule is like this. Any food that requires the after blessing in the location where you ate will not be affected by a shinui makom. In other words, if I left 100%, I went across the street, down the road, to Sobeys, picked something up, and came back in the middle of the meal. You're in the middle of the meal, and you know, they're run out of ketchup. And I can't eat my fries without ketchup. It's like, it's not possible. You know, that's what the kids say, at least. And they throw a temper tantrum. You know. And by the time you come back, the kids are already watching TV. Shouldn't have gone, but now what about you? What about you? Well, it depends. Well, there's nobody left from your eating session. So you'd have to make another... Wait a minute, but what did you eat? If you ate something that would require benching in its place, it's like there was no shinui makom. So now we have to figure out what foods require you to go back to your place, which ones don't require you to go back to. Well, be 90 minutes, obviously not. I mean, if it gets to the point where you'd have to, benching doesn't count, you know. But we're assuming it's a reasonable time, 10 minutes, 15 minutes. It's still not that long. It's still part of, right? So there's three types of bracha achronas that we're going to learn extensively in the next sessions. One is benching, berchat hamazon, after a bread meal. Then we have the three-part blessing, al hamichya, al ha'etz, on mezonos foods, on wine, seven species, which we'll talk about. That's the abridged version of the benching. Then we have the very short berei nefashos on other foods. Okay, so let's start from easiest to hardest. The easiest one is any food that needs a berei nefashos, let's say water, fruits, not seven species fruits, candies, things like that, does not have to make the bracha achrona where you were at. You don't have to. If you want to, you can be nice, but you don't have to. If you drank a glass of water and went somewhere else, and then, oh yeah, I forgot to make a bracha on it, you can make the bracha on that spot. So therefore, by definition, that's a shinui makom. If you have a if you drank a glass of water, had enough water, it needs a bracha achrona, and I went to the mailbox, I really could make a bracha achrona there. So for all intents and purposes, there's nothing forcing me to come back. Then the regular shinui makom rules apply. So any bread nefashos, if you violated shinui makom, you have to make another bracha. Bread, on the other hand, requires a benching in the place where you ate the bread. Therefore, the rules of shinui makom do not apply to a bread meal. Means if you left your place in the middle of a bread meal and you come back, you can continue eating without a problem, because a bread meal, you'd have to bench in that place. And therefore, you can just keep on going where you're at without saying another bracha. And more than that, I will say another point, that if I had in mind when I made this one, say I want to eat somewhere else, it'll work in the new place as well, and I don't have to make another bracha as well if I had that in mind. And as a matter of fact, I can go there, and then I can come back. I mean, I could do anything I want, right? But clearly you could do that. So let's say your neighbor asks you to pop in for a visit during a Shabbos meal. You know, have your meal and then pop over during your meal, so you can make a motzi at home to begin your meal. Have in mind you're going to continue eating the meal somewhere else, and then there's no problem leaving home and continue to eat at a friend's place without having to say another bracha. Now, this having in mind only works on a bread meal. Vizel will not work for mazonos, won't work for shakal, won't work for anything else, only for a bread meal. Right? If you sit down to eat an apple at home, it won't have you in mind to have in mind I'll eat an apple in another location. That won't help. So again, if you're eating a bread meal, if you're had breakfast, you started your toast, and the doorbell rang, and you got a special delivery and you missed it, and now you gotta go and pick it up from the post office, you rush to the post, you come back in 15 minutes, no more brachas, because the motzi requires you to bench in that place and the meal is not considered finished. So now your sukkah, clearly, if you've made a motzi, right, clearly you have to go back. Right? You clearly have to go back, and there's no problem there. Right? Or if you leave someone in the sukkah, clearly there's no problem there as well. Right? Now, that's easy. Shahakal is, Barena Fashos is easy. It doesn't help to undo the Shinui Makom. Bread is the ultimate redeemer. It like solves all problems. It's always good to eat bread if you're a Jew. Right? Always eat bread, because you get, so many shilas get knocked out when you eat bread. We already learned all these questionable brachas you don't have to worry about, and now you don't have any problems with Shinui Makom. Okay, hold on. Just on this you have questions?
Yeah. Let's say, you said you have to go back to where you bench.
Yes.
Where you wait. So let's say, worst case scenario, you're in a restaurant, and you forgot to bench, and you remembered when you got home. So do you have to go back, or is it
okay. We're gonna talk about more of that later when we go to bracha achrona. Okay, we'll talk about that later. You really should, but at least in terms of shinui makom, you're safe. If you go back to the restaurant, you don't have to make another bracha. All those other halachas, that's benching halachas, I don't want to go there. I don't want to go there, because we have to, that's a whole different set of halachas. Now, what's the tricky one? The in-between. The mazonos and seven species, the al hamichya al ha'etz, that's said after these things. Regarding rules of shinui makom, it's kind of in between. So, like benching, really this three-part bracha really should be said in the place where you ate. And you'd figure that the laws of shinui makom would not apply just like bread, because you remain connected. And that's, some opinions hold that way. The problem is there's other opinions. And the other opinions say that this three-part bracha does not have to be said in the same location, and therefore the rules of shinui makom do apply across the board. So now you have a big argument. So practically, what does this mean? So practically means you should try your best not to make a shinui makom when eating the foods, not to get this problem. If you must change locations, it's preferable to first say a bracha achrona before leaving, and then recite a new bracha achrona in a new location. If you've already changed locations without saying a bracha achrona, you forgot, then you don't say a new bracha achrona before you continue to eat. So if you're eating cake and you went out. So really what you should have done is you should have made a bracha rona and then go out and then come back and make another bracha. That's what you should have done. But if you didn't and you went out, then you came back, b'dieved, don't make another bracha. And that's the classic in-between law, right? So look, initially, don't go out. Initially, make the bracha. If you did, then it'll be okay for you. Okay, that's the halacha there, right? So now, but there's still one more thing. Even for bread or mizonos after the fact, there's one little thing we have to add, is what? It only works if you've already eaten a kazayis of bread. Okay? Because why? What's the logic? Because once I eat a kazayis of bread, I'm obliged to make a bracha achrona. And therefore I have to go back. If I only took one bite of bread and then I moved away, guess what? I don't have the bench yet. So that could, and if I went to the store, boom, I'm slapped with a shinui makom. Because I don't have to go back. I didn't eat enough to bench. Once I had a kazayis the size of an olive, right? Then you have to go back. And then the rules kick in. And that would be the same thing for the cake. You have to eat a kazayis of cake for that. So obviously, so even though you know, if you change places during a bread meal, you're allowed to continue with a new bracha, even though that's the case, you really could leave and go to the store. Technically, you could do that. I forgot the ketchup. I want some ketchup. My meal is not a good meal without the ketchup. I'm very upset. And I'm going to get the ketchup and come back. And I had a kazayis of bread. It's not a shinui makom. And you could do it. Good. But that's the halacha. But in terms of good advice, it's always better not to leave your original location without saying a bracha. Why? For a very simple reason. A security measure. Because how do you know you're not going to come back in time? What if all of a sudden you meet somebody at Sobeys and then you talk for 20 minutes and you say, "Oi, I'm already at Sobeys. I forgot I have to make a deposit in the bank. Make a deposit in the bank, go to the cleaners, get the thing. You meet a lost friend and you remember the kids have to go from carpool. Next thing you know, it's 2 hours later. Oi, give all of them to make a bracha achrona." This is not far-fetched, right? Therefore, generally speaking, we always would recommend, even though technically I could go to Sobeys and get the ketchup, come back, we should bench, come back and start over. Okay? You don't have to, but it's a general rule of good thumb. However, even to that general rule of good thumb, there's two exceptions where you don't have to follow that rule of thumb. Very simple. Let's say you're only going to get the mail by your mailbox right outside. Okay, it's not likely you're going to get lost for an hour and a half getting the mail. You know, somebody rings the bell, it's the postman, it's Purolator, well, I'm going to bench, and by the time I finish benching, Purolator's not there, they'll leave you a sign, you got to go to the promenade, or you wait another half an hour, it's only going to be a couple seconds, then you can do that. Or, if when you originally said the motzi, you had in mind to continue eating in another location, then you could leave without the bracha achrona. So practically speaking, let's say you're attending a kiddush after Shabbos morning davening. And at this last kiddush, which there was, by the way, would you ask me or somebody else asked me? It's the kind of question you would have asked me. Somebody mentioned why. You did. You said, why is there water for washing? I don't see any bread. Didn't you ask me? Or was somebody else?
But it's a good question.
So the truth is, there was pita bread there. There was pita bread. So let's say like this. Last week especially, there was, from what I hear, I didn't take a good look, but there was quite a lot of fish, I believe. Breaded fish, yeah. This kind of all salmon place, and there was pasta salads, this and that. It was really good first two courses, but that wasn't really like cholent. Well, maybe it was cholent too. I think it was cholent, but there wasn't like chicken and meat, right? But so what you could technically do is say, I'm going to wash, and I have in mind that I'm going to have the first two courses here, and I'm going to walk to my house and finish the meal, have a little more bread over there, and have the main course and finish, and not have to make enough. You can do that.
It's not the same meal.
It's the same meal. I have in mind for that without a problem. Right? Right? You have to eat a kazayis of bread, right? At the kiddush, having in mind to continue when you get home. And to keep eating when you get home, and all is good and well. You can do that. I'm not saying you have to do that, But, let's say, it's a hassle for you. Say, I gotta wash again. I gotta bench, Let's say you really are hungry. You want to eat a lot right now. And you already know all our classes on Kiddush. And you know what kind of halachic shilas I'm going to have? 7 crackers and some fish. You're already getting into dangerous areas where we might have to wash and bench anyway, right? So you know what the rabbi said? I shouldn't, but I really am hungry and I don't want to wait. I want to schmooze at the kiddush for a while. I want to have a good time at the kiddush. I want to eat and this and I want to have fun. And then I want to eat at home. And there's shilas if I have to wash. So the best thing is take 2 pita breads, whatever, wash. Make a motzi, have in mind, I'm going to finish my meal somewhere else. Then you can eat your heart's content. You don't have to worry about what the bracha chronas are at all. You don't have to make any bracha chronas. You walk home and you just continue the meal. And you're allowed to do that 100%. I'm not suggesting that's the best lifestyle to live. But from a halachic perspective, I mean, I wouldn't do it. But a lot of people might. You might, let's say you're a single guy, or let's say your wife's away, or let's say your wife wasn't mood. Let's say your wife says, you know, I've really been beat. You know, I heard there's an amazing kiddush coming this Shabbos. You know, give me a break, you know, eat by the fish, eat this. And you know what, I'll make a chulent for the house, and I'll have a little bit of leftover meat from Friday night, and when you come home after the kiddush, you'll finish up and bench it home. So for shalom bayis, you might want to consider that. And it's 100% legal, 100%. As long as you had in mind, A, and B, you had a kazayas of bread. And once you had that, you're okay. It's not a problem. Okay? Yes, questions? We're good? Okay, so congratulations. With that, we finish Shinui Makom. And, okay, we'll give you... Oh, let me just go. An hour's enough time, I think. We got 2 quizzes for you to do. So what we'll do is, we'll let you do the quizzes at home. And then next week, you're all going to come back next week? Or let's have a little sign of hands or... Okay, then we will begin bench. We'll do the introduction to benching, bracha achrona rather. We'll introduce bracha achrona, describe the different bracha achronas, and we'll take it week by week. As long as we have a reasonable crowd, I'll be happy to give the classes. So make sure you take the 2 quizzes and shkayach everybody. Okay, Marv will be in 2.5 minutes. So you get a little break. No, that one sheet is it. That's all I have. Oh, do you need extras or?
No, I mean,
I know. I that's all I was able to make notes of. It's been a little. It's been very time consuming to make these notes. So, it's what I could do. No, Biddy Evid, but look at...